Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the latest episode of the First and 10 podcast, brought to you by Blogging the Boys, powered by SB Nation. As always, Tony Catalina and Aiden Davis to go through all things Dallas Cowboys football here. We're in a little bit of a, purgatory right now, where free agency and the frequency is not as high, and the draft is still a few weeks away. So I digress. There's still a lot to talk about Cowboys football related. We got a special guest joining us, but before all that, Aiden, how you doing, my friend?
Doing well, getting to take my mind off the inactivity with a little bit of March Madness this week. So that's been fun.
Yeah, and it's funny you say that. So we had talked about it last week, right? We said we could come back here. Hopefully there'll be a couple of pieces, maybe a trade, something that, something to sink our teeth into, and none of that. I mean, as quiet as they were first week, they were even quieter in the second week, which is crazy to think about.
Nothing, we have nothing to talk about, right? Nothing happened.
That's why we're going to bring in the big guns, right? we're going to have Nick Karras, like I said, from DallasCowboys.com to join us. But before we do that, I mean, realistically, Aiden, we sound like a broken record, man. But the inactivity, is it a little alarming to you as it is to me?
This is, to me, it's crazy because the second week of free agency is, we talked about this a week ago on the pod. We didn't expect any big name free agents to be joining the Cowboys, but we did expect some minor signings where like I mentioned last week, you probably have to look up who the player is. You probably don't know who they are. And we're going to be relying on PFF grades to let us know how good they are but none of that has happened. We still have not just holes on this team. Rico Dowdle's and Deuce Vaughn, those are the only two running backs we have even competing for a spot this year. Right. That's wild.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I did an article for it, and we have four running backs under contract right now.
The other two?
So Snoop Connor and Malik Davis, and these are futures deals, right? So Deuce Vaughn, you would figure, is about as close to a roster lock, and you would think Rico Dowdle as well. But outside of that, we're talking future deals, keep guys in the fold, 90-man roster guys. The combined four of them make just north of $4 million total. So they're all making pretty much essentially the vet minimum.
I kind of like the strategy. Here's my issue. If they decide to draft Jonathan Brooks, then it's completely baffling to me. I do think Jonathan Brooks is going to need a year to fully hit his stride. So if you take Jonathan Brooks, it would be a little bit head scratching, but if they are able to nab a solid running back in this draft, I want to see how this plays out because they're saving money at the running back position. Granted, they're not spending it anywhere else, which kind of hurts, but I'm not totally against this running back strategy.
There's no lock, obviously, when it comes to the draft, but do you feel like the 56 spot feels like a running back more than anything else at this point?
I think they could surprise us and pivot linebacker.
Mm.
I don't know. There has been a lot of rumblings about Jonathan Brooks, and I think in order to get Jonathan Brooks, you'd have to take him with the second round pick, because we talked about it goes our second round pick, and then what? It's pick 156,
no, they got something. They got a third rounder, but then that's it. It goes from
is that a top 100?
Yeah, it's 87, and then it goes from there to 173. So there's over 100 picks between the third and their next one. So yeah, they need to hit on the first three legitimately for it to have a real impactful draft.
I could see the running back being the 87th pick.
Yeah, I mean, so we're talking, like you said, Jonathan Brooks. They did his knee surgery, so they have some comfortability there. But outside of him, it's Trey Benson sounds to be a second round guy. And outside of that, then you're talking third round. It opens up a little bit more with, you know, Jalen Wright from Tennessee and Blake Corum from Michigan. So I think you're right. The third round may be the sweet spot, but if they fall in love with Trey Benson and Jonathan Brooks, the Cowboys aren't going to be afraid to like pull the trigger there at 56.
I mean, that would it. If we're reading the tea leaves, the Cowboys don't like to go, like, they haven't gone bare bone. Even though they did that Darren McFadden year was a really weird year of like this doesn't seem like a running back that, I don't know, that kind of feels like we might be in line for like a Darren McFadden year where it's just a running back that you don't expect, like, you wouldn't expect to be a starting running back for most other teams, just getting the bulk of the carries.
And that was, what, 2015?
That was 2015, which kind of is in line with, like,
what they do
after
the next year.
That Romo. Yeah, exactly. That's what
Ezekiel Elliott, 2016.
No, okay. I thought you meant, like, if we're reading the tea leaves, I don't think silent rebuild feels a little weird, but this is a very wait-and-see year. Mm. I think this could be a wait-and-see year also at the running back position where it's like, yeah, we're fine with Rico and, like, an A7th pick running back and just seeing how that goes.
Let me ask you this. I'm glad you kind of mentioned that. Do we have to take the blue goggles off and call it what it is? Because I know there's a lot of talent here, but I think people are tiptoeing around this, like, rebuild, restructure, re-pivot, reload thing with this team. Because I'm not blind. I've been very clear that this is a team that feels like it's taken a sizable step back from a team that got their doors blown off last year. So is that a fair assessment? Are people, like, not being real with themselves, or am I overreacting?
I really don't think it's a team that has had three straight 12-win seasons can, like, truly rebuild. And especially when you still have Dak Prescott. If Dak Prescott wasn't on the team, yeah, it would be full rebuild. But with Dak on the team, I think you have a floor of 7 wins. Like, worst case scenario, I think the Cowboys go like 7-10. Mm. And that's not enough to rebuild. So I think what this year is I don't think Jerry's pushing any chips in on this year. Instead, it's, okay, Dak, McCarthy, and essentially the entire coaching staff. Maybe to a lesser extent, CeeDee and Micah, even though those kind of feel like locks. Let's just see how this goes. Let's play this out. Like, do we blow it up? Do we rebuild in 2025? I truly think this is just a one-year. Everybody is on the table, just pure evaluation.
And everyone's hung up on it. It's the phrase of the offseason. Like, how messed up and calculated is it for him to use the term all in a year where they're doing the complete polar opposite?
I don't know why. That's so funny to me. That's going to go down as, like, an all-time Jerry, like, moment where he, like, claimed to be, it was going to be an all-in offseason, an offseason where he did absolutely nothing.
Bro,
like, you got to respect the comedy at some point.
Yeah. I mean, as we're recording this, 13 days, by the time you're listening, it's 14 days. If nothing happens between now and when we sign, we release this, they would have signed nobody. I mean, one person in 14 days that's an outside free agent. Like, that's almost impressively quiet, right? Like, you sit here and I found myself saying this week, I'm like, how long can they go? How long can they go without, like, adding a piece? Like, left tackle is a problem, right? Centers, I mean, we have Brock Hoffman. I'm rooting for him, but right now it's an unknown. So there's two of your starting five offensive linemen issues. Rico Dowdle is my boy. Everybody know Rico Dowdle is my guy, but I don't know if I love the idea of him being running back one. Like, love him at running back two. Don't need him at running back one. You know, they got rid of Michael Gallup. So is it Jalen Tolbert at wide receiver? Linebacker is an obvious need. They spent the only dollars they needed or had on Eric Kendricks. So they believe linebacker is an issue. The cornerback room is a little bit iffy, right? Like, what's Trayvon Diggs going to look like? Hopefully, Jaron Bland continues to progress forward. Jordan Lewis in the fold. Like, there's just so many different question marks that this team, that's the thing. You said 7-10 is the floor, which I think a Dak Prescott team, I personally could be a homer in this. I think the floor is 9 wins.
Like, sure. I was saying, like, worst case scenario, there's injuries, 7-10. Yeah.
Fair enough. It's like, when he's not there, we've seen what it looks like. But if he's in the fold, I think we're fighting for a wild card spot. If everything's clicking, we're 12-5 every year. You know what I mean? So yeah. We'll see. I mean, I don't know. There's so many holes there. How do you sell this, right? Like, Jerry Jones is the greatest salesman in the world of all time. Maybe how do you sell this team? How do you sell this season? Because we're sitting here, you know, it was March 24th, a week before Easter, and we're sitting here going, what are the Cowboys doing? You know what I mean? Like, I just don't even know, understand what the strategy is. And if you tell me it's the polar opposite of all in, then I feel like that leaves a bad taste in my mouth after everything we've been sold.
I mean, we now know it's not all in, unless the Cowboys are planning on making like three massive trades over the next week. Nobody is claiming that the Cowboys are better now than they were at the end of last season. Yeah, I mean, it's not all in at all. And like, Cowboys fans do have a right to be upset about that one quote. But I will say, we then heard a lot like that week leading up, and we addressed it on the podcast, that week leading up to free agency, a lot of insiders were saying, take that all in quote with a grain of sand. It doesn't sound like the Cowboys are going to be that active.
Yeah.
But you're right. To this level, we haven't seen them. Yeah.
Well, I mean, shout out to Michael Gelkin, friend of the show, friend of the, you know, the network. My man, he's on the money. He's been on the money all off season. So if you're not listening to us, please listen to us. Obviously, we get a lot of informed people. But Michael Gelkin, man, everything he said so far has been true. He said they're going to completely change how they attack the running back room. We talked about that. He said, pump the brakes on the all-in. I mean, this is the most less all-in you could possibly be.
Brakes on the all-in.
Yeah, he's dialed in. So that's why I'm excited to get a guy like Nick Harris on the show, because he's somebody he's in the room. He's in the building. So I'm excited to talk to him, because he's going to get a unique perspective there. But, you know, speaking of you said nobody here thinks this is a better football team. And I'm almost rooting. I went from being bitter about the way Danny Phantom like looks at things, because he's always front office first, like trust the process. And I've switched from being, what is he talking about? Like, obviously I respect Danny and I'm just ribbing him, but it turned into, I hope he's right. Like, I hope what he's saying, like, there is a light at the end of this tunnel. Like, I found myself rooting for Danny Phantom in this case, because he's like, going, there's a plan. Don't be foolish in free agency. Now I'm like, please, please, Danny, like, please know more than me. You know what I mean? Cause right now it's at a point where this team, I mean, what you're going to go into 2024 knowing your worst. How can you get up as a fan? Not somebody that covers the team, not somebody that has to analyze it, but how do you go in there week one and be like, let's go. This team who got killed in the playoff game is now I got to root for and think they're going to do something different.
I will say this offseason, it's hurt, because we were like, we saw what the team's potential was at its high in 2023. Like, this team legitimately can contend for the Super Bowl. We know that, like, last year that was their ceiling. And so this offseason's hurt, but I will say, even given everything that's happened, the Cowboys completely sitting on their hands and doing nothing. As of this recording, we currently we're tied for the third best odds to win the NFC. Slightly behind, I think the Lions are at like plus 1300, Cowboys are at plus 1700. Granted, a long ways away from the 49ers at plus 5500. But with that said, even after everything that's happened, it's not like we've plummeted. This is gonna hurt. The Cowboys are still contenders, oddly, and that hurts to say right now. But I do think the Cowboys are still contenders. Granted, I'm not picking them to win the NFC.
Yeah,
but they will be contenders.
So here's a rhetorical question, not for you, because I think you're on the right side of history here, but you say everything you just said, no lies are said. What does that tell you? Like, what does that tell you about this football team? What is the one thing and the one reason why they're still contenders? I'll tell you why I think, but Dak Prescott.
They
believe in the quarterback.
And they do still have a lot of defensive talent left. I still think the defense could be really good.
I'm a little less optimistic on the defense, just because it got progressively worse in the last month of the year. We lost, like, what did we lose? True. 8 guys, and about 6 of them are on defense. You know, Jonathan Hankins, Armstrong, like, guys that play Fowler.
Fowler.
Like, a lot. Not even, like, we haven't lost, like, any top-end talent. We lost, like, legitimate rotational pieces that play impactful minutes. And, you know, the most quiet guy who gets 6-7 sacks a year is Dorrance Armstrong, and he's going to go to a competitor now. So I'm a little less on the positive side of this defense right now. I hope Diggs comes back cleaner, but I think the positivity, if you're being real with yourself, not you, but fans listening, it's Dak Prescott. As long as you get that guy under center, you're going to have a shot every single Sunday.
Yeah. And we've talked about it time and time again. At the end of the day, a lot of the NFL playoffs is luck. Maybe this is just a year that the I'm not expecting it to happen, and I'm not going to bang the table saying like, oh, this is our year. This certainly, Cowboys fans, we all like, this is not going to be the year we're banging the table saying this is our year. But after everything that's happened, I will still hold that the Cowboys are contenders in the NFC, not favorites, but contenders. Do you disagree with that?
No, I agree that they're still a quality football team. What's that quality like? You know what I mean? I don't know. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I still think they're a playoff team, but they went from winning the division, being the 2 seed. Is this roster constructed a 7 seed? Are they a 6 seed? Like, are they a 10-win, 9-win playoff team now? I mean, schedule looks to be harder on paper, right? And all that doesn't mean anything until you got there and play. But schedule looks harder playing the AFC North, everything that comes with that. And on top of natural regression, everything that's happened roster-wise. So, like I said, are they 3 games worse? Are they 2 games worse? Are they 4 games? I don't know. But I think they're a wild card team right now, and if they go and hit a home run in the draft and find some pieces in free agency or trade that can still hold out hope for that, I think they can find a way to a 10-11 win team.
Okay, that was going to be the question I asked you. As of this, when this is released, presumably the Cowboys are still at like 10.5 wins.
Yeah.
Per like that's the over under right now on our wins. Mm-hmm. 10.5. If you had to bet on March 25th, would you take the over or the under?
I'd take the under. I'm in the 9.5 range. You know what I mean? 9, 9.5, 10 wins. Need a ball to bounce one way or the other. I could see them go, like I said, with Dak Prescott, I think their floor is 9. That's the floor. But if things bounce their way, I could see them winning 11 games. But it'd be hard for me to sit here and say, this team's gone 12-5 3 years in a row. This is a 12-5 football team, because I think they're worse than the last year, the last 3 prior years.
Yeah, 10 wins seems about right.
Yeah, I mean, Listen. Things can change. There's a lot of time left. You'd hope that they'd obviously make some more moves. And that's why we're going to bring Nick Harris in. We're going to ask some questions draft-related. We're going to ask some questions free agency-related, get some inside look in the building. So we're going to take a little break, come back. We'll have Nick Harris here. We'll talk all things Dallas Cowboys. All
right. Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely, or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope. Because
I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, guys, welcome back. Like I said, we got a special, special guest with us now. Here we got Nick Harris from DallasCowboys.com joining us. Nick, thanks for joining us, man. Appreciate your time.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been kind of an uneasy weekend, you know, tracking brackets and everything, but also getting ready to go to Orlando for these owners meetings this week. It's a fun time of the year.
That's what I was going to say. I was like, I joked just before we came on, but I was like, there might not be somebody in the building working harder than you are right now. Like every time we talk, I've seen you at the Shrine Bowl, seen you doing this, you're traveling here. So, I mean, you love it, which is good, but man, you're spread thin right now.
Yeah, it's all good. It's not spread thin when you love it, like you said, but
fair enough. No,
it's a good time of the year. I love draft time. I love off season time. Honestly, the weird grind of it is a little bit different than the season grind, and I'm home more too. So it actually kind of works out.
That works. Hey, so let's jump right into a little bit. I wanted to get you, cause I mean, you guys obviously do a great job with the draft show, and obviously I'm going to touch on a little bit of things in-house, but I want to start with the draft, and I'm going to start with one that you may be able to do creatively here. If you were Will McClay, how would you handle the first 3 picks? Like what is your, it doesn't have to be a specific player, but if you got one, let me know. But how are you handling these 3 pivotal picks here?
Man, first round offensive line, whether it's center or left tackle, It's they're in a weird position there at 24 whenever you look at the tackle position, because yes, in the first round you have this awesome tackle class. You got guys like Olufashinu, Joe Alt, that'll go well before the Cowboys, Talisi Fuaga. But then once you start to get into that 15 to 25 range, names like JC Latham, Amarius Mims, Jordan Morgan, Troy Fountainow, I mean the list kind of goes on, Tyler Guyton. But of all of those guys, the only guy that had true in-depth experience at left tackle during his college days was Jordan Morgan. And the one concern with Jordan Morgan is that his arms are a little bit shorter and that he might need to slide inside the guard. That might be where he's better fit. So how do the Cowboys view all of that? I think that's going to be kind of an interesting question that they'll have to answer if they are set on picking left tackle there at 24. But if they want to go with the center position, you have Jackson Powers-Johnson, who could be available from Oregon in that range. And then Graham Barton, who did play left tackle at Duke, but he's probably going to slide inside to play center at the next level. He played center as a freshman. Looks really good there for the Blue Devils back in his time at Duke. So if you go offensive line in that first round, those are your options. Second round, gosh, this is where it gets interesting for me, because if you take center – then you're going to have to take left tackle in the second round, because you need a guy that can step in and be ready to go. But if you take that left tackle in the first round, it probably gives you a little bit more freedom to do some more things on day two. So day two, you're looking at, you know, in whatever combination, linebacker, defensive tackle, running back, more offensive line help. So four options there. Just kind of how do you prioritize those things? If it's me, like you said, if I'm Will McClay, I'm going to go left tackle first round. Second round, probably defensive tackle. And then third round, follow up with that center option. You got guys like Cedric Van Prang Granger, who I think would be available there at 87 whenever you're picking there in the third round. And that's a guy you can throw into the mix to help compete with Brock Hoffman and TJ Bass at the center position in training camp. That's how I would approach it, but there's a lot of needs right now. There's not going to be a perfect answer.
Right. You did hit on a little bit when you're talking about the left tackle position. Do you have any insight to how the Cowboys are viewing Tyler Smith right now and what they're planning on? Is that going to be draft dependent, what they're able to nail in the draft, or is there a plan on how they're going to use him in 2024?
Yeah, there was a really strong grade put on him coming out of this last season where he played left guard for the entire year. I think only missed one game against Arizona. Correct me if I'm wrong on that. Or maybe he missed two. But nevertheless, they really loved what he put together at left guard. People inside the building have said that's a 10-year all-pro at left guard. Now, if you move him to left tackle, you've seen what that looks like. It's still pretty strong whenever you look back to his rookie year and what he did at that position. I think whenever they bring in somebody from the draft, if it's a guy like Jordan Morgan or Troy Fountainow, for example, guys that have that little bit of flexibility, it would not surprise me if they take both of those guys, talking about Tyler Smith and the draft pick, to training camp and figure out what combination works best. And I think that's probably what you'll end up with. But I think if you had to ask anybody in the building, hey, in a perfect scenario, where would you put Tyler Smith? I think they would say left guard.
I mean, it's super interesting. What they're going to do there is going to change a lot. And speaking of changing a lot, this team has made or hasn't made moves, right, over the last, you know, couple weeks here that kind of have some people scratching their head. If you pay attention, not so much. But I'm usually the eternal optimist here. But I look on paper and I say this team's a little bit worse right now than they were at this time, you know, when they lost to the Packers. Is there anything they can do in your mind, right? I mean, it's not going to be perfect, but can they find a way to get comparatively better or, you know, on the even keel? Like, or are we just destined to walk into week one with a slightly worse football team than last year?
I lean towards walking into week one a little bit less with talent on both sides of the ball. But I think a couple of things that could help. You put together a draft class similar to what you did in 2022, whenever they were able to draft guys like Tyler Smith and Deron Bland and Jake Ferguson and all those guys that have turned into starters. Even had Marquise Bell as an undrafted free agent in that class as well, Wanya Thomas. If you could put together a rookie class like that, then, you know, you have some immediate contributors that'll be able to help at positions of need. I think also there is still flexibility to be able to make a couple of moves in free agency or a couple of moves with guys post June 1st, whenever that money does become available. I think there is some options to be able to do that. But I think when it comes down to going into week one, there's definitely going to be a little bit of a talent deficiency compared to what you were walking in with and into week one with last year. Is it still a playoff team? I think so. Absolutely. I just don't think it's necessarily a 12-5 team.
Have you heard any rumblings, whether it be re-signing players that, I mean, you still have Gilmore, McEwen, you have some names that you could still bring back or outside free agents. Have you heard anything about any plans as of now?
Yeah, nothing as of now. It's owners meetings this week, and it looks like after that they'll kind of see what the cap room looks like.
Yeah, it's funny. We've hit you at a couple of free agent questions here, but it's an unusually quiet offseason. And what is your take on that? Like, how do you feel the way they've been handling it? Like, I mean, obviously you feel how I feel about it, a little bit pessimistic. You don't expect the world, but you want like maybe something here. So I don't know how you feel about it from where you're sitting.
Yeah, it's interesting because we had a couple of conversations a couple of weeks before free agency officially hit, and we were kind of led into the assumption of what it was going to look like. It's like, look, man, we don't have this cap room that, you know, everyone is maybe thinking that we have whenever they put free agency, you know, scenarios together, whether it's a Derrick Henry or, you know, Bobby Wagner, et cetera, et cetera. We just don't have that money to be able to pay guys like that. Like, there's a lot of guys in this building that we want to be able to bring back that we just don't feel like we'll afford. I mean, you look at guys like Jonathan Hankins that they couldn't afford, or Tyron Smith, for example. But I think moving forward, if they're able to create some more cap room with a little bit more extension talk on Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, restructuring with Terrence Steele, Trayvon Diggs, et cetera, I think there could be some freedom to be able to do some things and maybe even make some trades, even if they feel like they can do so. But until then, it's going to be rough.
Was there an aggressive push to re-sign Tyron Smith? You just mentioned that move. Was there an honest move? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. There was a move there. And even after the two parties had met in Indianapolis during combine week with his agent and ownership, even after then, there was a clear push to be able to, you know, put together a deal that works for both sides. And Tyron was picking between the Jets and the Cowboys, and he fell on the Jets, and that's what ended up happening. I think it was tough for both sides to see Tyron walk out the door, but it's a situation for Tyron where he's able to go and protect for a Hall of Fame type quarterback, you know, potentially compete next season. We'll see what that looks like for the Jets, and now for the Cowboys, it's moving forward and maybe finding his replacement a little bit earlier than you anticipated, but this is a good draft to do so.
Yeah, you talked about some of these moves being a necessity based on allocation of funds and different contracts. So I want to ask you probably the biggest question here, the biggest elephant in the room is, where are they? Do you have a sense of where they are with Dak Prescott? I know there are some people saying maybe closer to the training camp that don't really help you with free agency now. Like, where do you think they are with those conversations now?
Yeah, I haven't really had any conversations as far as like inside intel on that, but I would say my hunch feeling, if it hasn't been done before free agency, then I don't think there's going to be a rush to get it done before training camp. Well, I'll say rush to get it done until that time before training camp, but the summer. You know, he just welcomed in a new baby, a first child, so getting used to being a new dad. And then on the Cowboys side, obviously figuring out a lot of things that they can do as far as cap room outside of Dak Prescott, whether that be with CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons, Terrence Steele, Trayvon Diggs, et cetera. I anticipate that getting done right before they leave for training camp. That would be my guess.
So in a similar vein, it kind of seems like we're all expecting CeeDee Lamb to be the first domino to fall. Is that your sense too? Is that CeeDee Lamb is likely going to be that first contract extension to come out, or is it just at this point a wait and see game?
Yeah, I think it's a wait and see game, because if you're CeeDee Lamb and you're looking at the opportunity that you have in front of you from a money standpoint, right, you're looking at the receiver market. You're understanding what that looks like right now. Justin Jefferson has not gotten his deal. Jamar Chase has not gotten his deal. Mike Evans did just kind of get a interesting contract, but obviously he's later down in his career than those guys. T. Higgins potentially could be putting together a massive contract. So if I'm CeeDee Lamb and I'm his agent, I'm waiting back and seeing what happens so I can reset the market once those guys are able to get their deals in. And I'm sure those guys are doing the same exact thing, factoring in CeeDee Lamb. So I think from CeeDee's side, there's probably a little bit of pause, because this is a deal that could have gotten done last offseason, and now they move it forward to this offseason, and we kind of see what that looks like going into that fifth year. But I if I'm CeeDee Lamb, no rush at all on this. If I'm the Cowboys, I understand that. And, you know, I just kind of let that rock. But also, if you're the Cowboys, it would also help. So we'll see. Is that the first domino? Man, that's tough to gauge right now. But I think it for sure gets done before the Michael Parsons deal, for sure.
Let's bring it back to the draft side of things here. And you talk about pet cats and good fits here. You may have a pet cat that's league-wide, but do you have a Cowboy-specific pet cat where you're like, man, you put him into this team here with this locker room, and this guy could really thrive?
Man, that's a really good one. I got a few different positions of need. We could start with Goodness, this is a good question. We can start with defensive tackle. I'll start with Mason Smith out of LSU. He was a guy who was a big-time recruit coming out of high school, and he battled some injuries during his time at LSU, but was really able to put together a couple of really solid seasons. His freshman season, I'll put it up against anybody in this draft class. It was really solid, and I think once he fully finds himself returning from that injury, I think he'll be ready to really rock. He's also a big body that you could just throw in that interior, and he'll be ready to go. At center, I've mentioned it many times. It was a guy we got to see at the Shrine Bowl, Tony. It was a Hunter Norzad out of Penn State. I think he's a guy that you can go grab on day three and potentially have some fun and throw him in there at the center position and work him in with that competition with Brock Hoffman and TJ Bass. Man, trying to think of some other guys at running back. I really love Isaiah Davis out of South Dakota State. That's another day three guy, 6'1", 220 pounds, just this massive guy with really long legs. And he has that contact balance. He can go between the tackles and fight in between there, but he can also get outside and run away from guys. 1,400 plus yards in each of the last two seasons for the back-to-back defending FCS national champions. So he has a winning pedigree. He'll bring it to the next level. I would really love to see Isaiah Davis on this team.
You recently did a draft profile on Trey Benson, and we've heard some rumors about Jonathan Brooks and the connections there. Do you think the Cowboys would be, is it, you gave your outline if you're Will McClay. Do you think the Cowboys would be able to wait until day three to take a running back, or is it those two marquee names? Should we really be keeping an eye on them?
Yeah, that's tough, because then you're starting to factor in needs and how much of a need are certain positions. Because you look at the running back right now, running back room right now, Rico Dowdle, Deuce Vaughn, Hunter Lipke, Malik Davis. How comfortable do you feel with that? I think 10 out of 10 people would tell you that's probably about a 3 in confidence out of 10. So I think you need to go get a guy on day two. But if you're evaluating the needs inside of that draft room and you're looking at defensive tackle, you're looking at the offensive line, you're looking at potentially linebacker being more of a need than the running back position, then I think there are some guys there in day three that you can go grab. But man, that's when it really sucks not to have that fourth round pick. You would hope that they kind of pick up a pick at some time and are able to, you know, help alleviate that pain a little bit. But guys that I think will be there on day three, I mentioned Isaiah Davis. I think Isaac Garrido from Louisville is another really fun name. Tyrone Tracy out of Purdue, Kamani Vidal out of Troy. So there's some interesting options there. I mean, Isaiah Pacheco went in the seventh round a couple of years ago. So there are some guys there that you can find good value in. It's just it can be hit or miss at that running back position. As the as you're starting to scrape the barrel, it can definitely get hit or miss.
I know you were talking about the offensive line in the first round, and I'm there with you. It feels like it's almost inevitable at this point, but we see things happen, and this is the question I wanted to ask. Is there a skill guy, wide receiver, et cetera, anybody that could fall to you at 24 that would make you pause and think differently about that offensive line pick?
Maybe not skill, but I'm looking at Liatu Latu and out of UCLA, the edge rusher, and I see the Cowboys looking at that edge position, seeing that Michael Parsons is, you know, taking control of one side. DeMarcus Lawrence is heading into the final year of his contract. He's starting to age on the other side. You just lost Dorrance Armstrong and Dante Fowler. I could see the front office being like, look, this is the guy we can throw on this other side and we can build that defensive line of the future. Mm-hmm. And we can really get after the quarterback. Now, do they do that? I don't know, but I think it certainly would be a conversation that they have. At receiver, gosh, I feel like it would have to be, I would at least have a conversation about Brian Thomas Jr. I don't think I wouldn't pick him. I would still go offensive line because that's such a big need. But I think a conversation is definitely warranted about Brian Thomas Jr. Just kind of see how the room feels.
Yeah.
Before we let you leave, I got to ask a question that is interesting for me being a UT fan. You're recently at UT's Pro Day.
Yeah.
A lot of names that have been at least maybe not connected to the Cowboys, but people are commonly see them on the mock drafts. That being T'Vondre Sweat, Byron Murphy, Jonathan Brooks, maybe Jalen Ford in the later rounds. For you, who impressed you most at the Pro Day? And if you could have one of those players and put them on the 2024 Dallas Cowboys, who are you taking?
Oh, goodness. That's a fun one. Gosh, who impressed me the most? I think it's easily Jalen Ford, a linebacker. Originally out of Frisco Lone Star High School, and he played his high school games at the Ford Center at the Star. So he's very familiar with that facility. He'll be in attendance for Dallas Day in a couple of weeks. Most of the guys did not do testing. And when you think about the combine performances that most of those guys had, it makes sense why they did not do testing. Why when you run a 4.21, why would you go back out there and risk running a 4.3, you know? So Jalen Ford, he did all the testing, looked really good. I mean, there were scouts raving reading about him throughout the day as I was kind of walking around. If I had to place one guy on the Dallas Cowboys next year, man, that's a fun one. I would probably go, I'm going to cheat as far as like draft value goes, because I don't think you take this guy in the first round. If you're the Cowboys, I think he ends up in the first round. But Byron Murphy, defensive tackle, yeah. Out of DeSoto High School, he'll be another one that's in the Dallas Day conversation as well. He's so strong, man. And it was funny whenever I was covering him, when I was covering high school recruiting, everybody would always compare him to Aaron Donald because he has kind of a shorter stature. He's just swole like a tick. I mean, he looks like a grown man. He looked like a grown man at 16 years old. And I was like, man, that's an unfair comparison. This is a 16-year-old we're talking about here. Like, yes, he's a great defensive tackle. He's really strong, but we're not going to compare him to a 8-time all pro. And then, you know, I'm starting to see these mocks, I guess, back in like November, where he's starting to get put in the first round. And I was like, I'll be damned. He actually lived up to these expectations, or he's living up to these expectations a little bit. He's got a long way to go, obviously, but that's a really fun defensive tackle option that I think will give you strength and technique on day one.
Man, that's awesome. I don't want to interrupt Aiden talking about his alumni there, you know, big time Texas Longhorn guy. But no, Nick, man, I really appreciate it. Every time you come in, you drop some knowledge, and we really, really appreciate your time, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime.
Absolutely, man. Take care. All right, that was Nick Harris from DallasCowboys.com that joined us, man. Second time he's been with us, and every time he comes on, man, he really does give us some good information, good insight. What was your biggest takeaway? I'll tell you mine was just the whole uncertainty of what free you know, these contracts are going to look like and how it the domino effect it has moving forward. I mean, he's obviously a draft guy by nature, but he's in the building, so he knows the day-to-day operations. I think he told us without telling us, like, don't expect much this week because they're going to be in Orlando. So that's another week of probably slow business for Cowboys. But that's kind of what I took away from it. I don't know how you feel about it.
Yeah, I think him, like, we're preparing a little bit for the draft, have our eyes set on when the Cowboys add a big name, it's likely going to be in the top three picks that they're holding right now, or the first three round picks that they have. So yeah, I mean, he brought great insight, and I think Nick always brings a very level approach to it in terms of he's not gonna tell us that we should expect a big name to hit, but at the same time, looking forward to the draft, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, and it's funny because he's a guy, like I said, in the building, understands, has a lot of information, a lot of intel. What take a step back and you see how some of the local beat writers and then the guys who are actually in the building view their scope of like a free agency plan, and they're all sort of perplexed. You know what I mean? They're all sort of kind of like, we knew that you were strapped a little bit and we knew you're going to be a little more conservative, but I feel like there has to be a happy medium between damn near nothing and like the Rams when they were saying F them picks. Like there has to be a difference, and they're not like in the middle of that. And now if they can go out and trade for a Brandon Cooks type or a Stephon Gilmore type, and that's where they're going to get better, is trading, you know, comp picks and late round draft picks for players that can help now, it might change the conversation a little bit, but still, it to me, it doesn't excuse the almost 2 weeks of inactivity at this point.
I will say Nick seemed to be more optimistic than I think either of us are.
Yeah.
Maybe all that. The Cowboys will get a deal done with Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb. Like, he seems to like these extent. It seems like Nick really expects these extensions to come. And at this point, I was pretty 50-50 about whether it was going to happen at all with Dak. So
yeah,
it seems like he's still confident about
and that's
that.
The funny thing, right? Like, you can get caught up in the fodder, and by the end of it all, you could really be on the fence of what this Dak Prescott situation is going to unfold. But I'll say, I've always, until proven otherwise, figured this was going to work out. Right. Like, because I understand how hard it is to find like a quarterback of his stature. Right. Whether you think he's 10, whether you think he's 12, I think he's squarely in the 5 to 7 range personally. Where do you find that? You know what I mean? Like, where are you just going to draft that? Like, it doesn't work like that. Even finding him in the first place was a stroke of luck to get him in the fourth round to not get all the people that they wanted originally. And then they get Dak Prescott and ends up changing the franchise. So I just don't. I don't want to, you know, throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? Because you don't have a plan. What's the plan of attack? And you got a guy. I mean, is there any doubt in your mind that if Dak Prescott went to 15 other teams, he'd be like, they'd be a Super Bowl contending team, like instantly from his walk through the door.
No, he's the same, like he's Matt Stafford from like two, 3 years ago before he joined the Rams, of like whatever team Matt Stafford gets dropped on, they're going to be a Super Bowl contender.
Right. It's so crazy because I think people struggle with the whole, hey, he's not Aaron Rodgers. Hey, he's not Tom Brady. So that means he's not worth it or not good. Like there's a difference between the game's greatest and dudes who play great. You know what I mean? Like great players,
exactly. Yeah.
And the greatest of all time. There's definitely a notch there that he's at. He can play. I think he's a very, very good quarterback who has moments of greatness. You know what I mean? And why do we want to throw that out? Because he's not historically great right now. I think that's short-sighted.
No, I think both of us are in the same boat. Getting a contract extension done with Dak Prescott is 1,000% the right move. I had kind of given up hope that it was actually going to happen this offseason.
Right. Yeah. Well, Nick, it seems like Nick brought a little positivity, gave us some notes, some tips, some names to look for. So appreciate him for joining us there. And before we wrap up, is there anything else you didn't touch on? Anything else you have to say or it'll burn on your brain for a week?
No, I hope Jerry has fun at his owners meeting. He's been working really hard these last 2 weeks. Yeah, take a well-deserved break, Jerry.
Maybe he goes to Disney. Who knows? Maybe enjoy himself because we're definitely not. But no, I digress. It is another episode of the First and 10 podcast brought to you by Block and the Boys, powered by SB Nation. We will catch you guys next week. And I don't want to say maybe another free agency signing because the last time I said it, there was nothing. So maybe I just won't say it. Peace.
's Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.